Now, one very powerful way we can defend ourselves, of course, is through the use of vaccines. The way these work is they educate the immune system so it can recognise an infection in the future. They contain components from viruses or bacteria, and these stimulate the production of immune molecules, which are called antibodies. Now, this means that if the infection is encountered for real later, these stick onto the incoming disease agents and they smother them, blocking the infection. But how are flu vaccines that we use today actually made? Izzy Clark went to meet Otmar Engelhardt, who's at the National Institute for Biological Standards and Control. They're responsible for checking the quality and the safety of UK medicines and treatments.
Flu is a very special case because flu viruses change constantly. So if you're given a vaccine in a particular year, you induce an immune response, you induce antibodies against the viruses of that year. But the virus evolves, changes, and tries actually to escape the immune response in the population. So 1 or 2 years later, the virus will look differently. It will have different, if you want, a different coat, or slightly different maybe patterns on its coat. And therefore, the antibodies are not so good at recognizing it anymore, and you need to induce new antibodies. And that's why you give a new vaccine every year, to keep up with the changes in the virus.
And that's the pesky thing about the flu virus. You can get vaccinated against flu, but it can change and evolve, or as Otmar explains, disguise itself. And so our immune system doesn't always react and attack it, which is why vaccines are so important. But how do we make them? It was off to the lab.
We are in a room where we have incubators and fridges to keep chicken eggs.
Chicken eggs? What have they got to do with the flu?
Some viruses, and influenza virus in particular, grow very well in embryonated chicken eggs. And it's technology for influenza that was developed in the 40s.
So can we see any of these eggs?
We can. So we have an incubator here with uninfected eggs.
It's, oh, wow. Even look, it's quite warm in there as well, actually.
It is very warm. The eggs like to be warm. They are slightly different from your normal egg that you buy in your supermarket. We shine a strong light through the egg, and then you can see the interior.
The box that you're using to shine this light literally just looks like a bit like an old cinema projector. I feel like we're going to get the slides out or something.
Yes, it is a very simple equipment, and you put the egg in front of it, and all of a sudden, you see the interior.
Oh my goodness, that's amazing.
So you can see the embryo, you can see blood vessels.
The egg basically lights up to a sort of orangey-reddy colour, and we can see all of these small blood vessels,
yes,
going
indeed
through it.
Yeah.
Okay, so how do we take an egg and then actually get a flu vaccine by the end of it?
Okay, so you need a flu virus to start with. So you take viruses from patients, which you analyze year-round, and you pick the ones that are most appropriate to be in the vaccine. And then we use a syringe to inject the virus. These viruses often don't grow well in eggs, so you need to change them, you need to manipulate them so that they grow better. And there are a few labs in the world, and one of us is our lab, that does this process to change the viruses so that they can grow well in eggs.
Okay, so we inject this virus into an egg, and then what happens?
Okay, so the virus has grown in the egg, so you have live virus in the main fluid in the egg. You can harvest this fluid from the egg, which is not yet suitable for a vaccine, so you need to do further processing steps. So you want to get rid of some of the egg components, but you also want to concentrate the virus so that you have a higher amount of inactivated virus there to induce an immune response. And in many cases, there's further purification involved to enrich the components that you actually want in the vaccine, the coats of the virus that induce the relevant antibodies.
So how much of this vaccine could you get, say, from one egg?
Not very much, probably 1 or 2 doses, depending on the yield.
Oh, wow. So we're going to need a lot of eggs to, say, vaccinate the whole of the UK.
Yes, it's millions.
This is the most reliable way, but what are some of the weaknesses to this method?
One is dependence on eggs. So if the chicken flocks were wiped out by a chicken disease, there wouldn't be a substrate to make vaccines, so that would be a problem.
And using eggs, is this the only way we can produce vaccines?
No, it isn't. There are other methods. In recent years, manufacturers started to use cell or tissue culture to make vaccines. So they're using cells, infect them with virus, harvest the virus again, and then the process is very similar to the egg-based process.
And it was off to a lab to explore this alternative method, cell culture.
I don't think I get to wear lab coats enough, personally.
Otmar led me to a corner of the room that had three incubators. They actually look like high-tech mini-fridges, but they'd be the worst fridges ever, considering they're kept at 37 degrees Celsius. And then he pulled out a rather surprising plastic container.
And in there are the plastic flasks with the cells inside.
I wasn't expecting it to look a bit like a clear hip flask.
So yeah. We've got this plastic container with this orangey-looking liquid through it. What is actually in here?
Okay, on one of the larger surfaces of this flask, the cells are attached to the surface, and then we have a liquid, a medium, which keeps the cells happy, it gives them nutrients. We can take off the liquid on top, wash the cells, and then take a virus in a small volume, put it on, add some more medium, and the virus will infect the cells in the flask, and we put them back into the incubator, and 2 or 3 days later we can come and the viruses will have destroyed the cells and will be found in the liquid, where we can harvest the liquid and then do with the virus what we need to do.
Now that seems more straightforward method than, say, all of the eggs.
It is a more modern way, and some other vaccines are made in cell culture other than influenza virus. I'm sure this will be a method that increases in use. Whether it will be the main method, we'll have to see.
So whether our vaccines are using fertilized egg or whether it's cell culture, who exactly needs these vaccines? Should we all be getting them?
Many people need the influenza vaccine. Different countries have different vaccine recommendations. In the UK, it is recommended that the elderly get the influenza vaccine every year. It's also recommended that at-risk groups of younger age, so certain conditions, heart conditions, lung conditions, diabetes, get the vaccine every year to protect them from influenza, where in these people it can create more severe disease. And also children. There's now a program in the UK of vaccination for children that is expanding, and lots of children are getting the vaccine.
Fascinating stuff. That was Otmar Engelhardt, and he was speaking with Izzy Clark.
Now, Sean, are pandemics like this something we have to deal with very often? Can you tell us about some of the other big pandemics that have hit since 1918?
Well, luckily not too often. We haven't had anything quite on the scale of the Spanish, I call it Spanish, totally unfair, flu outbreak. But of course, there have been major outbreaks. I mean, in the Second World War, in the conditions of the war, you have things like the outbreaks of typhus in camps and that sort of thing. But in more recently, the biggest one, of course, was AIDS in the 1980s, or starting in the 1980s. And then we've had, of course, the bird flu outbreak. And more recently, I suppose, Ebola. So the age of the pandemic not only hasn't passed, but the judgment is that it's highly likely, not say inevitable, that there'll be another major flu outbreak, for which I hope, from the sound of what we've been hearing, would be better prepared than they were in 1918. But you can never be complacent.
Right, yeah, that's quite scary, because you think these are things from the past, but a lot of the pandemics you just mentioned are in very recent years.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yes, it's not just going back into long ago, you know. And, of course, it is always changing, and there are different variants of flu, and we tend to put a lot of faith, of course, that we just think science will solve it. But, of course, the diseases or the viruses respond to it, and so new strains come in. And above all, I would say, you've got to have international cooperation, and the more that becomes under strain, the harder it will be.
Right, so constant vigilance and cooperation. Thank you very much, Sean.